We're in a new series that we kicked off tonight, so you picked a good night to come, we are going through a series in the book of Genesis as we speak. Matter of fact, I've got plans to maybe here in the next 6 years take you through the entire Bible. How about that? In 6 years, we're going to go through Genesis to Revelation, if, in fact, I don't croak before then. I'm young, I'm 28 years old, don't plan on going anywhere anytime soon, so I think I'll be here if you will, all right? Our series tonight is called Founders. It's called Founders. And if you don't have a Bible, that's cool too. We'll have a big one up on the wall, all right? Also, if you have a phone, you can use your Bible on your phone. I'm not one of those guys to jump all over you because you have your phone. I will say this, though, all right? The person next to you, if they look over at you and you're playing on, you know, you're playing some, I don't know, Flappy Bird, or you're on Twitter or Instagram or something like that. Flappy Bird probably doesn't even exist anymore. I don't know. It's definitely not cool anymore, right? What's that? Okay, I don't have a clue what that is. But anyway, what I'm getting at is please be mindful. Okay, you can actually be a distraction to the person next to you if you're playing on your phone doing something, and I encourage you not to do that. If you're using your phone for your Bible, that's great. If you're using it to take notes, that's awesome. If somebody calls you, you can get up and leave. I'm not going to be, you know, where do you think you're going? Not happening, okay? It's all good. But please do be mindful. We'd appreciate it. And again, I am thankful that you guys are here tonight. I can't stress that enough. But as you're turning to Genesis chapter 12, if you haven't already, life is a journey, isn't it? It really is. And before we get started, I want to tell you a little bit about my journey. The fact that we're even here tonight is probably a lot more complicated and complex than what you imagine. The fact that you're in this room tonight, there's a lot that took place in your life to get you here. And that's like, my mom brought me. A whole lot more to it than that. And God has a much bigger picture for you and for me than what we realize. And my journey, real quick, some of you are already familiar with it, but my journey started, some of you don't know this at all, started in a little hole-in-the-wall town called Goshen, Indiana. I was born in Goshen, Indiana. I spent about a year there. I've never been back. I don't have a clue what Goshen, Indiana looks like, but I was a baby. My mom and dad had me in a hospital in Goshen, Indiana. And then my dad moved jobs, and my wife, my mom, and my dad moved back here. This was home for both of them. They moved back here, and I've been here ever since. Okay, I went to Chesapeake, K through 12. The only time I haven't been in Chesapeake or South Point or Lawrence County was the 4 years that I went away to college in Virginia to Liberty University, where I got a degree. I was a special education teacher. That's my degree, actually. I taught a couple years, special education fifth grade in Ironton Elementary School before I became a pastor. And this is the love of my life, doing what we're doing here tonight and you being here. And through my life, I kind of fast-forwarded there a little bit. I was loved deeply by my parents. Some of you are fortunate that you're loved deeply by your parents. You know it. Others of you in this room, not so much. And I hate that. I was fortunate, loved deeply by my parents. I did witness my parents separate, though. When I was young, I watched them get a divorce. I saw some stuff that nobody should see. Fists go through windshields. Language that no kid needs to hear, and others of you have heard. I saw, my parents slam doors. I saw, just about, things get pretty ugly and nasty. By the way, I have a little brother. He's not so little. He's about 6'4". I'm 5'10". I didn't get those genes. He's 2 years younger than me. I'm 28, I said. He's 26, and he lives here in Chesapeake. He and I are, we're not real close, but I want us to be. We do communicate. We are not at odds by any means. Fast forward a little bit. My childhood was pretty good. Really. When I was 14, though, my dad was killed in a car crash unexpectedly. Nobody prepares for that. I surely didn't, nor did my brother. So that very much changed the outcome of what I would be, what I would do, who I would look to for guidance and advice. And just, you know, I was in eighth grade. So, you know, I was getting ready to go into high school, and I lost my hero. But I had an awesome mom, and my mom got me in church. And in church, I met Jesus, and Jesus saved me. Up to that point, I was in and out of church, thrown around a little bit. My grandparents were praying for me all the time. And the only time I was in church was because of my grandfather. He took me, and he took me regularly, and just through circumstances, I got in and out. But God pursued me, and he found me. I didn't find him. I wasn't looking for him. But he found me, and he saved me, and he has called me to serve him. I met my wife, Sarah, in high school. We've been married now for 6 years, and I have two little boys, Judah and Asher, and I have a little girl named Ada Lee, who is on the way, and my wife is currently in the hospital at Cabell Huntington Hospital with pregnancy complications. We've been in the hospital now for 15 days. We're hoping to be there as long as possible for our little baby to be healthy and born on time, not prematurely. So pray for my wife, and her name is Sarah, and my little baby Ada Lee. But that's enough about me. I just want to kind of share a little bit about myself and just set us up, because truth be told, we're all on a journey, right? We're all on a journey, and it's called life. And some of us have had a pretty ugly journey. Others of us have had a pretty beautiful journey. But all of us have had bumps. All of us have had setbacks. All of us have had disappointments. And we're going to look, founders, I mentioned our new series. Okay, we're going to look in the next 4 weeks at four characters that could be considered the founders of our faith. We're going to start tonight with Abraham. Then we're going to look at Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph over the next 4 weeks. And some of us love history, right, in this room. Show me. You like history? You love history? All right, others of you don't see its relevance. You're like, I don't get it, okay? Ask Stephanie Beelan. If you don't like history and you don't see the point, talk to her about it. She'll inform you. But truth is, the words I just spoke are history, right? What I just told you became history. And we can't exactly repeat that exact moment. We could play a replay. But history is not so different than present reality, to be honest. And that's why it does us so much good to look at history. And tonight we're going to look at a guy named Abraham. We're going to call him Abe, okay, because at this point in the story of God, in our history, his name is actually not Abraham. It's Abram. He gets a name changed. God tends to do that. He calls you, and he gives you a new name. And at this point, his name is Abram, but we're going to call him Abe, you know, for just the whatever. I just want to call him Abe. How about that, right? So tonight, there's some big concepts, some big pictures, and I'm going to put them up on the screen here. Some big pictures that we're going to find here in Abraham's life. And those big pictures are calling, blessing, obedience, struggle, and promise. Okay, and those things are true for us, just the same as they're true for Abraham, or Abe, rather. And what we're going to do is we're going to go through some scripture here, and we're just going to unpack what he went through, what we go through, and we're going to see how this really does apply to you and me today, okay? The truth is, some of us think the Bible's an outdated book that has no application or relevance for us, but I'm telling you, it's not just a book, it's God's word, and he wants to speak to you, and he wants to speak to me. And if you'll have ears to hear him, if you'll have eyes tonight to look and be attentive, I'm telling you what, you'll be glad you did, okay? So let's look at Genesis chapter 12, starting in verse 1, okay? We're going to read a few verses, and we're going to talk about calling, okay? It says this, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I'll make of you a great nation, and I'll bless you, and I'll make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." All right, now, I am currently attending, I've kind of taken a break, college classes at Tri-State Bible College here in South Point, and I have a professor who said that these just may be, these first three verses in Genesis chapter 12, may be the most important verses in the entire Bible. He said that a few weeks ago, and I thought, huh, I've never heard that. I'm scratching my head. I don't understand. I find that there's other verses in the Bible that are far more important than this. So I'm like, dude, what are you talking about? But he also knows a whole lot more than me. So I'm like, he's onto something. So I got to studying, and God's amazing, and he kind of showed me a little bit in this study as to why these verses could be considered maybe some of the greatest verses in the entire Bible. You're like, okay, Michael, I'm not tracking with you. That's okay. We'll get there. What's amazing about this that we just read is that God spoke to a man. Can you just imagine if God were to speak to you right now? Would that startle you? Would that upset you? Would that cause you to freeze and stop and drop everything that you're doing? Would it cause you to be horrified? Would you freak out? Would you just shut down? Would you lay down? Would you hide? What would you do? Okay, well, God speaks, it said in verse 1, "Now the Lord said to Abram," truth is, God calls us. And we're looking at calling here. The fact of the matter is, God calls people. You're not here tonight by mistake. And neither was Abram right here, or Abe. And the truth is, God first calls our name, then we can call on his. It's true throughout history, and it is true right now, that God first calls our name so that in turn we can call on his name. No one has ever called on God by taking that first step without God having taken the initiative to pursue you or to act on your life, to interrupt your life. And I don't know about you, but that's exciting. Because when I least expected it, when I lost my number one hero, my number one person in life, my dad, when I was 14 years old, I needed somebody to step in and interrupt my life in the best way. And God did that for me, and he can do it for you. And he always calls on people who don't know him. You realize that? Abe here, he didn't know God up to this point. Some say he even worshiped false gods. You know what false gods are? Demons. If you worship a hobby, a sport, if you worship a friend or a family member, if you worship a relationship, if you worship an instrument, if you worship your appearance, you are in turn simply being satanic. You are worshiping the enemy. And those things are kind of subtle, right? And you're like, no way, man, I'm not into that. Everyone is born into this world not loving and following and living for God, but instead the enemy, who is Satan, the devil. And we all need intervention. We all need help. We all need to be woken up from our stupor, from this reality that it's not about us, and it's not about making a name for ourselves, as we learned last week. But none of us come into this world believing and following him. And when God calls Abe, and when he calls you and me, he doesn't give the fine print, right? We would like that. He doesn't give us the fine print so that you know everything that he's calling you to, and you could say, I'll sign that on the dotted line because I like what you got going. No, he doesn't give us the fine print, but he does give his promise of his presence. And that's the best thing for you and me. We don't get the fine print details, but we get the promise of his presence. That means that no matter what the plan is, no matter what the calling is, he will be there with you in the midst of it. And I'm telling you what, who is there better to have with you? I mean, some of you are like, man, if I just had a friend, if I just had somebody that would go with me so that I could say or do this, I think I'd be set. Truth, right here, God says, I call you, I will go with you, I will walk with you. He does that for Abraham. And the promise is as good as the one who makes it. The promise is as good as the one who makes it. He doesn't give Abraham the details. He doesn't tell him where he's taking him. In those first three verses, Isn't your life a lot like that? Like you've been told or been taught, or if you've ever been to church at all, you've been told, trust God, give him your life, do this, you know, live for God, you know, be adventurous for God, dream big for God. I don't know about you, but I'd like to know the details. I'd kind of like to know what that looks like. My life seems to have a lot of unpredictable twists and turns and curves, and the fact that we're living in Cabell Huntington Hospital is one of those. And I couldn't tell you 10 years ago I'd be here doing what I'm doing right now, and that's okay. I don't even know what tomorrow holds. Anybody here know? Do you know exactly what's going to take place tomorrow? I didn't think so. Okay, I've never asked that question, and somebody in all seriousness lift their hand and say, Michael, actually, tomorrow this is what will happen. Because I'd say, man, I want a lottery ticket. What numbers? What numbers? What's the winning lottery numbers? And I'm getting that guy to go with me. All right, it's not happened. You continue to read. You see in verses 2 and 3, we just read them, that there's this blessing. Okay, number 2, there's this blessing that takes place. Some people see blessing as simply rewards for doing good or doing what God says. I ask you to ponder here just for a moment. What does the word bless mean? What does it mean to be blessed? Think about that. You've said, I'm blessed before. You've heard maybe your grandparents say, I'm blessed. There's a guy down at Sam's. Every time you take your receipt to him for him to check off on it, how you doing? I'm blessed. And he's big, and he's just got this deep baritone voice, and it's just encouraging. But what does he mean by that? What do you mean when you say you're blessed? So many people think that blessing or being blessed is simply a reward for doing good or being good. God's blessing is so much bigger and better than that, though. God's blessing is not as much about what you will get out of the deal, but it's more about his purposes and his will being realized by people and his will being accomplished. All right, let me say that again. Blessing or being blessed is not so much about what we get or what we receive, but it's about realizing what God's doing and what he's accomplishing. And he'll do it through you, and that in turn is a blessing. And God's primary blessing is not through you or me, though we can definitely say tonight that we're blessed. Man, I am blessed. I'm blessed to have you guys here. I'm blessed to be able to hang out with you all. You know that? Like, this is awesome. I mean, I get paid to do this. How cool is that? But the truth is that God's primary blessing, and we're talking a lot about truth tonight. I've said that many times. God's primary blessing is through the obedience of Jesus, not you. Yeah, people will argue that. Right now you're like, what in the world does that mean? The primary blessing of God is not through the obedience of Michael Wright or Rihanna DeQuilla or Michael Black or Alex Bielan or anybody else in this room. His primary blessing is through the obedience of Jesus Christ. And that is hope. That is encouragement for sinners like you and me. I'll unpack that a little further. Okay, that's blessing. Let's look at verses 4 to 6. We're going to look at some obedience here. So Abram went. So Abe went. Okay. He doesn't argue. Notice what you don't see here. He doesn't argue. Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old. He's not a young man. When he departed from Haran. Or maybe he is a young man, because some of these guys live forever. I mean, they're like triple digits, you know. I mean, so maybe he was a young man. As the Lord had told him, Lot went with him. He was 75 years old when he departed. And Abram took Sarai, who later becomes Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, his nephew, and all their possessions they had gathered and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Obedience. We see obedience right here. I don't know about you guys, but sometimes it's hard to obey. It's hard to obey your parents sometimes. It's hard to obey the rules sometimes. It's hard sometimes to obey the law. I like to run 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 miles per hour over the speed limit sometimes, right? It's real easy to do that for me. Obedience hinges on faith. Obedience hinges on faith. And the crazy thing about faith is a word we throw around like candy, right? And we don't give a whole lot of thought to this word, faith, and there's so much there. But faith is a gift that we receive, and it's also a gift that we employ. You know what an employer or an employee is. So faith is a gift that we receive. It's something that we get from God. God actually gives us faith. We tend to see faith as something that we're always doing. But as I said earlier, God initiates. He always takes the first step. So God gives you the ability to express faith. So it's a gift that you receive, and then it's also a muscle that you work or that you put into action, that you employ, that you engage. So you can receive faith, and then you can also exercise faith. There are people in this room who exercise faith. They believe. There are people in this room that pray continually for their lost loved ones. I know Brianna requests prayer just about every single week for a grandmother that is unsaved because she's concerned about her grandmother. She has faith that God can step in and interrupt her life just the same as he did for Brianna. And so obedience hinges on faith. Even though Abe doesn't know where he's going exactly, as many of you and I don't know where exactly God's taking us or leading us, he takes him at his word. He says, God said this, and God's promise is as good as he is, so I'm going to say yes. And that's not easy for you and me, but it can be done. We see it right here. A mysterious thing happens, too, during salvation. Like, if you're in this room and you know what that means, what took place in your life is you made a decision. Right? To be saved, you must make a decision for Jesus Christ. You must make a decision. You must say, yes, I want Jesus. I need Jesus. But God made the first move. He made that first move to grant you belief. If God did not visit you, if God did not capture you, if God did not pursue you, you would have had no opportunity to receive Christ. And that is mind-bending. That is like mind-blown. Because all the while, your journey that you're on right now, the journey that I'm on, God is with you. He wants you. He welcomes you. And some of us, including myself, we're simply not looking. We're not watching. And Abraham was here in this story, which is reality. This happened. And it's continuing to happen today, that people are obeying God, and they're saying, yes, you speak, I will listen. You lead, I will follow. So we don't just pull faith out of this hidden door somewhere in our lives that, you know, we somehow God, you know, exposes this hidden door inside of us that we find the key and we unlock it, and that's faith. When we obey, when you are saved and you realize why you exist and what life is about, you're living in line with God's plan. You're agreeing with God that his way is best, not your way. Because all of us have made a mess out of our lives in some way or another, some of us worse than others. And you know it to be true that you're just one decision away from a whole different life, right? You've seen it happen in other people. One decision away from just a completely good or bad. I mean, it can be one decision away from being behind bars. It could be one decision away from seeing your lost loved one come to Christ and see salvation and see what life is about. But there's struggle. And we see this in the life of Abe. And we see this in our life. Check out verses 10 through 20. Now there was a famine in the land. So Abe went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. When he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife, I know that you're a woman beautiful in appearance. Baby, I know you're hot. He says, I've got a hot wife. And then he says, when the Egyptians see you, they'll say, this is his wife. She's so hot, he says, they'll kill me because they will want my woman. All right, so she must be good looking. So he continues to say, say you're my sister, verse 13. Say you're my sister that it may go well with me because of you and that my life will be spared for your sake. When Abram entered Egypt, the Egyptians saw that the woman was very beautiful. Obviously, he just said she was. And when the princes of Pharaoh saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house, and for her sake, he dealt well with Abram. So you're hot. I'm going to treat you good. I'm going to treat your brother. I'm going to treat him good too. And he had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male servants, female donkeys and camels. This guy had it all. But the Lord afflicted Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. So Pharaoh called Abraham and he said, what in the world is wrong with you? Now, he didn't exactly say that, but he says, what is this you've done to me? Why did you not tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she's my sister so that I took her for my wife? Now then, here's your wife. Take her, get out of here. And Pharaoh gave men orders concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. So what does Abe do at this point? We've seen faith, right? We've seen obedience. Yeah, you've seen that maybe in lives of people in this room, or you've seen it. You're like, yeah, man, I trusted God in that phase, that stage of my life. I obeyed him. He said go, and I said yes. But then what happens? You struggle. You struggle. I struggle. We struggle. Be confident that when you meet God, your life will not be smooth sailing. All right? If anything, it's going to be harder because God wants to use your life to show how great and good he is, not how great and good you are. So he will open up opportunities for you to be challenged, for you to be tested, for God to flex, not for you to say, check me out, I've got it going on. So what we see here is Abe knows he's got a good-looking woman and somebody's going to kill him, or so he thinks. So what does he do? Does he trust God will protect him? No. He lies. She's my sister, which is actually partial truth. But you know what? Partial truth is a lie. You realize that? Stretching the truth is a lie. Okay, because technically speaking, she was his sister, but not blood sister. All right, and we find that out later in the story. I've told a lie or two. You? Yeah, to get myself out of a situation that's sticky, right? You've done that. He does the same thing. Don't think that our Bible is full of superheroes, okay? You need to know that about this book. You need to know that this thing is not like only the good get in. This thing is messy. This life, this journey is jacked up. And guys, even here on these pages, it's the same. History and present reality are not that different. And so, God brings circumstances our way, your way, not to figure out what he's going to. Some have said, you know, God tests you to find out whether or not you'll trust him. Let me tell you something real quick about that. God does not test you to figure out anything. He already knows, okay? God tests you. He puts you on trial, maybe, to develop your character, okay? To sharpen your skills, to teach you of his protection, of his provision, of his presence. He does those things because you forget. You forget that God is all-knowing. You forget that God is all-loving. You forget that God is there. You forget that God will walk with you because he already made the promise. So be encouraged, guys. I need to be encouraged by the failures of this guy named Abe and the success of my Savior, Jesus. Founders, the series, Founders. These guys are flawed. These guys are messed up. I mean, did you not just see that? And yet, that's why God chose these men. You want to know why? God chose flawed founders because he couldn't find anything else. And even today, when God surveys the land and he looks at all these people, he still finds the same thing. Flawed, jacked up, messy people. And that's the whole reason why he steps into human history to make things right, to make things new. Ultimately this, and you got to hear this. This right here is revolutionary, all right? It's not about your performance. It's about his promise. It's not about your performance. Guys, some of you guys are trying to impress God with your lifestyle, or you're feeling guilty or miserable because you're not getting it right. Give that up. Get off the treadmill and realize that it's not about your performance, but it's about his promises. So we fast forward a little bit as I wrap this up. We fast forward in Abe's journey, chapter 13, Abraham and his nephew Lot, they part ways. They're on good terms, but Lot's taken captive in battle, which is pretty rough. Okay, so, you know, Abe's nephew Lot, he gets taken captive, and chapter 14, you see Abe basically grabs this army of men, and they go and they rescue him. And then we've been talking about this promise, right? It's not about your performance, it's about his promise. How about that promise? Let's look at Genesis chapter 15. What is this promise? You read in verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I'm your shield. Your reward shall be very great. So once again, God speaks to him. Could it be that God is speaking to you tonight? Could it be that God wants you to hear him speaking to you? And then you see in verse 5, he brought him outside and he said, look toward your heaven and number the stars if you're able to number them. That's kind of silly, right? So Abe starts counting. He's like, one, two. Stop. You can't count the stars, dude. You know this. And so then he said to him, your offspring shall be as the number of the stars. They should be countless. They will be a multitude that you cannot number. And then in verse 6, bingo. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. This verse right here reveals to you and me. Some of you go, well, how did people in the Old Testament get saved? They didn't know Jesus. Jesus wasn't there yet. Grace through faith has been the same way in human history. That's the only way that you can be saved. That is the only way that Abraham could be saved, is by taking God at his word. And who is God's word? Jesus. Jesus is God's word. So salvation has always been by grace through faith. This guy took God at his word. He had faith. He trusted the promise. And in fact, he was saved by trusting God's word. Our assurance isn't found in us, guys. Nobody in this room right now, if you have lack of assurance, if you don't know right now that heaven is your home, if something were to happen to you, God forbid, after we leave here tonight, and something, a car crash, something, I mean, it happened in my family. It could happen in your family. Some of you, it's already happened in your family. You know. But if something were to happen like that, and you don't have the assurance that you would be meeting God, that you would be in his presence, you can have that assurance. But your assurance and my assurance, I have that assurance right now, but it's not found in me. It's found in the work that Christ has performed for me. It's in the work of Christ for you that you can go to bed tonight without any worries, without any stressors about what's to come for you after this life. Because God settles that by what he did on the cross. So how in the world were these three verses that we started with the most important verses in the Bible? Check out Galatians chapter 3. Verse 29, on the wall. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. Here's the key that unlocks this statement, okay? If you are Christ's, if you belong to Jesus, then you are Abraham's offspring. You are heirs according to promise. What are heirs? Heirs are sons and daughters. Right? So you are heirs. You are sons and daughters of God according to what? The promise. This means that you and I, if we do, in fact, belong to Christ. It's because of a promise of God that was made long ago. It has nothing to do with what you have in fact done. You can't do anything to gain God's attention and say, hey, look at me, I'm good. Save me. That puts us all on the same level playing field, and God says, all of them need me. And that puts you in a good place tonight, because it does not matter what you look like, it doesn't matter your background, it doesn't matter what you've done, it doesn't matter what you're doing right now, because God will save you according to not you, but His promise, if you will respond with faith. You're a child of God, not because of what you've done, because of what God has done to secure a people for Himself. And that's it. That's it. Let's pray. God, it's amazing, really, when we stop and think about what You've done for us. I know that in this room, in this group of people, this number, there's probably at least somebody in this room that has yet to trust Jesus, has yet to make a decision to ask God to intervene. They've thought of God as some hell-bent, angry drill sergeant or a mean old distant entity out there somewhere, somehow, some way, and they have yet to see God as a gentle Father. Because maybe they don't even have a father in their life. But that He is drawing, that He is calling, that He has blessed, that He is inviting. And so tonight I pray for these students, for these guys, for these girls, that You will stir in their hearts in only a way that You can, that Your word that we have heard will have its intended purpose. And that as we move here in just a minute for small groups and we get to discuss some of this, that we will be real. As your eyes are closed and your heads are bowed tonight, I'm going to ask you a couple questions. If you're here tonight, God is calling you. To what? Is God calling you to be saved? Is God calling you to share Him with someone? Is God calling you to commit to a particular cause? God has blessed you, even if your life doesn't feel blessed. Will you be obedient? That doesn't mean you won't struggle. We all do. We're not unlike these founders of our faith, flawed, messy, with only one hope, just like they had. Christ is enough. Their only hope that His life, His death, His resurrection is not just the first payment of many, but a full payment for the debt that we owe. I say amen to that. So God tonight may be calling you to something. If He's calling you to be saved tonight because you don't know Jesus as Master, as Lover, as a knowable God, would you slip up your hand and say, Michael, pray for me. I don't have that relationship with God that I am being told about or that I've heard about. Would you just slip up your hand? I simply want to pray for you. That helps me to know who we've got in our crowd tonight. Maybe God's calling you to step up and obey. Is that you? Amen. I see that. God is calling you to do. And what is that do? That is trust Him ultimately and see what he's offering you. See what He's leading you to. And say, yes, I don't understand all that, but I'll do it. I believe You. I trust You. Realize you're blessed, guys. We all are. Father, as we go to our groups, we have 5 minutes. May we make the best of those 5 minutes in Jesus' name. Amen.